Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Good to see you again, Coach.
Yeah, good to be here. Jerry, Michael, how you doing?
Bill.
Congratulations on, most importantly, not only the win, but clinching a first-round bye. I know how important that is for any team going into the playoffs.
Well, we really don't think too much about that. We just try to think about the game that we're playing and try to go and win every weekend. So it's always good to beat the Jets. Always good to get another division win. And, you know, we have another one this week.
Let's talk about the game yesterday against the Jets. And I really wanted to get your take on the art of blocking kicks, whether they be punts or field goals. You know, Vince had a pretty impressive block yesterday. Are there just certain guys who have a knack for doing it, or is there a science to getting blocks on field goals? It's hard to do.
Well, I think there's definitely a lot of technique and you know, a lot of little things involved. Some guys do have a knack for it more than others, but I think, you know, we've seen certainly this year and every year we've seen guys improve. You know, guys start out and having trouble blocking them, and as they work on it and understand what they need to do, they get better, and you see that improvement in practice. Sometimes it carries over into the game. Again, just because it's hard to block them in the game, a lot of times you're in good position, but the ball you just don't get it. But at least being in good position, that's a start. So yeah, we work on that every day and every week. And of course, it's good to see those kind of results.
What did you see in that particular play from Vince and from the people
penetration
around him?
Yeah, well, you know, he and Allen were on the guard. They and Branch, they knocked Harrison back, right, 94. They knocked him back, and you know, it's again a lot of what to do with the timing, because you want to, you know, knock the guy back one step, two steps, and then bring your hands up. If you put your hands up too early, you don't get enough drive. If you put them up too late, then you can't block it. So it's that timing of getting your hands up, maximizing your penetration, and getting your hand up in order to have it up in time to block it, but again, not too early or not too late. So it's definitely a timing play, and also obviously being in front of the ball on a field goal, because when those balls are on the hash mark or in the middle of the field, the trajectory changes. And if you're in front of the ball, then, you know, those blocks are usually on kicks that are good. If you're in front of the ball and the ball misses you, a lot of times the ball missed the uprights anyway. So, you know, you can be in a good position but miss because of the bad kick. But that's a good thing.
And how much of that has to the credit goes to Bill O'Brien? Because it looks to me, sitting on my couch, that, you know, you've had two blocks in 2 weeks. You almost had a third. And there's a lot of pre-snap movement, and it seems like you've found tendencies or something in teams, things that you can exploit. How much of it is coaching during the week, and how much of it happens right in the moment like that?
Well, I think, you know, Coach O'Brien, Scott, and Joe Judge, our special team coaches, do a great job of that. They do a great job of game planning and looking at the weaknesses on the protection. But we do that with everything. We always try to look at our opponents, find weaknesses, and attack them. And then it comes down to, you know, the execution and obviously the players making the plays. They're the ones that do it. So you can draw that stuff up all you want. But, you know, in the end, it comes down to the player executing. So I think you got to give the credit to those guys. But I'd say in most cases, it's more than one guy. It's not just one guy making the play. It's done in conjunction with others. And certainly Jamie's block last week. And even though Casillas didn't block it last week, he was extremely close. That I'm sure that the Jets, after looking at those, probably put more emphasis on protecting the edges out there and by the tight end and the wing. And then I think that may have helped loosen things up a little bit inside. Maybe next week there'll be more emphasis inside. Maybe it'll loosen things up outside. But, you know, we've had them in different spots. You know, Chandler got his between the guard and the tackle. Vince got his kind of between the center and the guard. Jamie got his between the end and the wing. So, you know, we've gotten them in different spots. Chris got his in the Jet game, kind of in that same gap as Vince did, but from the other side. So that's all changed, and it's been because of different teams and different techniques.
Okay. I did call Scott O'Brien Bill O'Brien, didn't I?
You did.
Dale,
okay.
You take it from here. I'm going to run a lap. I'll be right back.
You had some protection problems for your quarterback yesterday, offensive line. Was it primarily just physical problems, or were there communications issues that were leading to those issues?
I'd say there are a number of issues on the protection that involve the quarterback and involve the running backs and involve the tight ends and involve the offensive line. So, you know, there are multiple things that happen depending on which play you want to talk about and what we had called. So, you know, just got to do a better job than we did. But it was a combination of things, and that was really the whole offensive day. It was everything, everybody. It wasn't one position or one play or one thing. It was all of it.
You had said all week long that you'd been watching the Jets on film, that they were a good football team that had lost some close games, had won some close games. Did they show you anything that you weren't expecting yesterday?
Not anything that we haven't seen during the course of the year. You know, we went in expecting certain things. We got pretty much that. They gave us a couple things that they hadn't done last week or maybe the week before, but we'd seen them earlier in the year. But I don't think, you know, anytime you play a division team, you don't usually come out of the game saying, oh my God, they ran a whole new offense or a whole new defense that we never expected. That's rarely the case. So, and it wasn't the case yesterday. I'm sure we didn't do anything that they would have looked at and said, well, we've never seen that before either. You know, you play a team twice a year every year. It's hard to do that, you know, unless it's a trick play or something like that. But as a basic part of your game, it'd be hard to do that.
But to that end, on the third and fourth play, critical point in the game, could have been a 42-yard field goal for the Jets. There was a sack, 52-yard field goal, which led to the kick we just talked about, or the block kick. It was a different look there. What made it so different? I mean, from the quarterback's perspective, what was he seeing that he hadn't seen before?
Oh, I don't really think he saw anything. We changed the look. We stemmed and moved our outside linebackers outside, moved our tackles inside, and it looked like the protection between Powell and Giacomini that they got mixed up, and so they both started to take Hightower, and then they turned out and took Rob, and Hightower came clean. So it just looked like there was some. You know, well, I don't know exactly what happened, but they ended up not really getting high. So,
wasn't a different look from you.
Well,
guys.
We stemmed it to a different. I mean, it was basically the same look, but we had a couple guys change positions. Whether that affected them or not, I don't know. We did it. Maybe it affected them. Maybe it, you'd have to ask them. But in the end, they kind of had two guys on the same guy and nobody on one, and so that's pretty much what happened on that play. But that was a big play for us. That whole sequence was big for us, and for all the things that maybe didn't go exactly the way we want them to go in the game, I think there was a sequence of plays there: the third down stop, forcing the long field goal, the field goal block, the third down conversion, the short yardage conversion, the running out the clock, that, we did a lot of things well in the last 5 minutes. The Jets used two timeouts, one when they kind of changed their mind on that field goal. It looked like they were going to, when they called the timeout, they were going to punt it off a field goal formation, try to pin us back there, and then they called the timeout right before the ball was snapped, and then they lost the other timeout on the Amendola challenge. So losing those two timeouts, kept them from having another chance to get the ball back at the end of the game. After Bolden picked up the first down. So I just thought the last 5 minutes of the game that we executed a lot of things situationally good, the way we wanted them to, and ultimately that was probably the difference in the game.
Your guys talk about situational football all the time, and I'm wondering that Bolden play, that 17-yard run, I think it was 1:41 left in the game. From the Jets' perspective, if they had let them score, it's 24-16, you have a shot. Touchdown and 2-point conversion to tie it. From your perspective, does Bolden, do you think that he has been told at that point, if they try to do something crazy like letting you score, don't score?
Right, yeah. I think he was aware of that because of the way he stayed in bounds and, his awareness of the situation. He knew once he got the first down, the game's over. They're out of timeouts, we're kneeling on the ball, so that would have done it. It's interesting you mentioned that, because that's a similar situation to what happened in the Washington-Philadelphia game, where Washington was they were handing the ball off at the end of the game. Philadelphia was trying to strip it. Philadelphia could have let them score. I don't know that Washington wasn't trying to score. You know, ultimately they kicked a field goal to beat them, but you know, letting them score there might have been the play at the end of the game. Or, you know, I'm just saying it's a similar situation, you know, to being able to, you know, get back in a game like that.
You went to the no huddle in the, it was like the second possession of the third quarter and moved the ball pretty well. What goes into that decision? Is that something you plan, you know, before the game? Do you say, all right, in the second half we're looking to do this? Or is it a total situational thing that you make up on the sidelines?
You know, it could be really either, Jerry. It could be something we plan on doing at some specific point in the game. It could be something that we just, you know, feel like it might help us to go to that. And, you know, in the end, I think that that's, if you feel like you can gain an advantage from it, it's worth doing. If you don't, or if you feel like you can gain an advantage from doing other things, then you probably want to do other things. So, I'd say, though, in the end, it really comes down to execution more so than being in a huddle or not being in a huddle, particularly at this point with the amount of no huddle that teams see in the league from week to week. It's not really a surprise tactic anymore, you know, like maybe it used to be a decade ago. Now it's, you know, you're ready for that every week against every team you play, so... But it you know, we had a good drive on it and kind of helped us get things going a little bit. So it was I think I'd say a good call by Josh to do it at that time. And we executed those plays better than we did some of the other plays that we ran. So, you know, it worked out. So it was a good thing.
Brandon LaFella's already set career records for catches and touchdown catches in a season. When you were looking at bringing him into your organization in the offseason, what were the things that appealed to you about his game?
Well, I think the things that he liked about Brandon were his size, his toughness, you know, blocker, playing in the kicking game, you know, physical player, hard guy to tackle. He was a tougher guy to evaluate for two reasons. One, he played primarily in the slot for Carolina, and he really hasn't played a lot in the slot for us. I wouldn't say that's his primary role. And the offense that Carolina runs is just schematically different than what we do. So some of the things that they were asking him to do in his position were just different than what we would be asking him to do, probably in a different, you know, he would be playing a different position, but just schematically our offense is different than theirs. So you kind of had to project, you know, how he would do for us playing outside when most of his snaps were inside at Carolina. And again, the type of routes and the scheme that they ran was a little bit different than what we do. But his size, his toughness, his, you know, ability to make catches in tight spots and use his size to create separation and body up the defenders and run after the catch and make tough yards. I mean, those things are all great, and we love that, you know, the way he's brought those things to our team. It's been great.
You think his experience in Carolina helped him? I mean, he has played the slot, and he's being asked to do something different here. So, in theory, he probably has better knowledge of all the wide receiver positions because of his experience.
Yeah. It probably does help him. I mean, the knowledge probably helps him. I just say in terms of an evaluation, you know, when you're looking at a guy and you're saying, okay, what's he going to do for us? And he's doing the exact same thing for somebody else, it's easier to evaluate that than it is to look at somebody doing something different and say, okay, you know, he's not really doing that. This is what we're going to ask him to do. How's it going to go? It's just a little bit harder, that's all. I'm not saying impossible or anything else. It just makes it a little more challenging.
So tonight, Cincinnati, Denver, do you have a bunch of friends over the house, eating some popcorn, drinking some beer, just hanging out, watching Monday Night Football?
No, you know, really, tonight's a big night for us in terms of Buffalo because the players are going to be off on Thursday, so we're going to practice tomorrow and Wednesday, like a Wednesday and Thursday for us. So we've really got a lot of work to do in terms of our preparation to be ready for Wednesday practice, which happens on Tuesday this week. So, you know, tonight's going to be kind of like a Tuesday night for us, which is, you know, it's a longer night, it's a working night, it's a preparation night, and that's what it should be.
So somebody would be checking in on the game, but it's not.
Yeah, well, there's nothing we can do about that. So whatever happens, happens. It's, you know, what we can do something about is our preparation for Buffalo, and that's what we need to do a good job of is, you know, preparing for that game and being ready to go. And as I said, the players will be in here tomorrow, and so as a coaching staff, we got to be ready for them. We got to, you know, have the game plan, the scouting report, the cards, the preparation, the scout team, all the things that we're going to do in practice. Like, that all needs to be ready to go, so that's what we'll be doing tonight.
So you're off Thursday?
Christmas Day, yeah. Usually be Tuesday.
Okay.
So we've kind of flipped the schedule around a little bit this week because of the holiday.
Right, well, I'm just throwing this out there. You want to come co-host with me on Christmas Eve? Intercom will pay. And I think there might be cupcakes. I don't know.
Maybe. I can't promise.
So I don't need an answer now, but think about it if you're not doing anything.
I think I'll pass on that, Jerry, but I really appreciate the offer. I've never had that before.
It's a standing offer.
Yeah. It's time now for the Coach's Drive of the Week. I'm going to bail you out here, Thornton. Brought to you by the all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class, raising the bar yet again as the benchmark in luxury sports sedans. Visit MBUSA.com or your nearest dealer today. This week's drive, would you say it's the Jonas Gray touchdown run that gave you the lead? Or
after the interception? Yeah, that was a big one. Could be the last drive, taking off the last, whatever it was, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, and whatever. That was a big one, too, because, you know, field goal beat you at that point. So if they get the ball back or, you know, if you have a turnover, you have a bad play, I mean, you're one play away from them. So, sure, we'll go with the Jonas Gray touchdown drive.
And they reviewed that. Could you see anything on the – when you were looking at the replay of it where, I mean, his knee did go down, but it was hard to see if his knee went down as the ball was over the over the goal line or not? I mean, did you see anything there?
Definitive? I mean, it was tough. Yeah, just a lot of bodies there. You know, looking at it today on the coach's film, it's kind of the same thing. You know, he's got a clean shot, and he goes, you know, low, and he definitely crosses the goal line. Now, you know, when does his knee hit? When do they touch him? When it's, I mean, it's a lot of bodies in there. It's kind of hard to see, but he's got a clean shot to go in. So had he not kind of stumbled or slipped or, you know, whatever, I mean, I think it would, you know, would have been an easy touchdown, but, you know, because he touched the ground, you know, it made it a closer play than really what it looked like. I mean, because just look, when he has the ball where the line of scrimmage is, you'd say, well, he's going to score easily, but it was a close play.
We appreciate the time as always. Congratulations on the win. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Yep. Happy holidays to all our listeners, and look forward to coming back next week.
We'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you.